The Everlasting Breath of Christ, John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus therefore said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained." But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days again, his disciples were inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst, and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here your finger, and see my hands, and reach here your hand, and put it in my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who do not see and yet believed." Many other signs therefore Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. According to John's Gospel, the disciples had not yet encountered the resurrected Christ. John and Simon Peter had seen the empty tomb, and Mary Magdalene later told them of personally witnessing the risen Christ. It was on the evening of the first Easter, and the disciples were gathered in the upper room behind locked doors. Since the Romans had tortured and crucified Christ, could they be next on the hit list of those to be executed? Then suddenly, from out of nowhere, Christ appeared. Like those early disciples, fear continues to hold sway of paralyzing us. Christ has conquered death, and there's no crisis of any size that he can't handle today. It sounds simplistic, but true. The risen Savior is very aware of our troubles, and all he requests is that we trust him. The disciples were overjoyed to have seen Christ, and they witnessed this most glorious event. We can also experience the joy of the resurrection daily when we worship Christ. His death on the cross offers assurance of pardon, and his resurrection provides us with the hope of eternal life. That is something we're celebrating and worship, whether as a group or individual, in praise of our risen Lord. Christ gave his disciples the mandate that they were commissioned to be sent out into the world. However, the disciples recalled that Christ had been beaten, whipped, and crucified. Perhaps they thought, "We're not so sure if we're ready to be sent out just yet." Christ was in reality saying to them, "Continue my mission." We share common beliefs and values about God, so we're comfortable. We don't have to worry about being accepted because we're church family. But outside the church, we're mixing and mingling with people who may think differently than we do. It's scary. When we are together, we're okay, content, and unafraid. Then we remember what Christ said, "I'm sending you out, continue what I started." Do we really want to depart from the familiar to venture out into the unknown? But in reality, we don't stand a chance among the spiritual wolves with our own limited abilities. The powers of darkness are far too great for us to confront them with our own strength. To carry out the mission of Christ means we move forward into the unknown with the confidence that victory has already been won by God. As our bodies thrive on a proper diet, we also require an energizing heavenly power called God, who strengthens us spiritually regardless of our circumstances. Christ gave us the command to go and carry out on his mission, plus the necessary strength to fulfill his purpose for our lives. An interesting fact about the story relates to Thomas the Apostle. Numerous sermons for 2,000 years have addressed the doubts of this disciple. But the question that prods my thought process is, when Christ breathed the Holy Spirit on the apostles, what about Thomas's absence from the group? Did it matter, or how did it affect him not to be there in the room when this occurred? Perhaps the object lesson is that Thomas set the example for everyone to recognize the need for the Holy Spirit's presence in their lives. Christ breathed on the disciples the Holy Spirit and continues to breathe on us today via the same Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit equips us to live as God intended, so as to carry out our faith through action with confidence. Remember this, we do not stand a chance without the God-breathed power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Well, we typically associate the Holy Spirit with Pentecost, as described in the book of Acts. However, in this case, the Holy Spirit touched the lives of the disciples 50 days earlier, prior to the Pentecost event. The church is in the greatest need of Holy Spirit resuscitation today. For too long, the church has been going through the motions and attempting to do ministry under her own power. If we are to carry on the message of the redemptive grace of God, we must be receptive to the life-changing work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not to be dreaded, but appreciated and desired. The Bible teaches if we would draw close to God, God will draw close to us. As a result, our fears and doubts will be changed into confidence and strength. Departing from our comfort zones permits the Holy Spirit to empower us with courage while stifling out fears and doubts. I'd like to introduce you to someone. His name is Brother Andrew. He is a native of Holland, and after professing Christ, God has used him in a tremendous way. As a young man in the 1950s, God teamed him up with a fellow citizen from Holland, the legendary Corrie ten Boom, whose family had hidden Jews during World War II, but later imprisoned by the Nazis. They were sent to a concentration camp where only Corrie came out alive. Corrie survived, but God wasn't through with her yet. God gave her an international mission which took Corrie to every continent of the world and a multitude of ministries until her death in 1983. Brother Andrew was introduced to Corrie at a gospel meeting in Switzerland, and for several years, God united them in one common mission: Bible smuggling. Now, you may recall, in an earlier sermon preached last year, I made a reference to Corrie smuggling Bibles into Moscow under the noses of Soviet commissars. Well, with the use of a Volkswagen Beetle, millions of Bibles were transported behind the Iron Curtain to be distributed in those communist lands. Brother Andrew and Corrie finally decided, after much prayer, to launch their biggest mission endeavor, to transport 1 million Bibles behind the bamboo curtain into Red China. From Brother Andrew's book, The Calling, describes it in detail. Wanting to be certain that the believers in China understood the immensity of the task and were willing to accept the risk, Joseph, a Chinese team member, traveled to meet with 5 house church leaders. Joseph asked, "Do you know how much space 1 million Bibles take up?" The house church leaders replied, "We have already prepared storage spaces." Well, Joseph continued, "Do you know what could happen if you are caught even with a portion of these Bibles?" And you know what those men said? They replied, "Joseph, all 5 of us have been in prison for the Lord. Altogether, we spent 72 years in jail for Christ. We are willing to die if it means that 1 million brothers and sisters can have a copy of God's Word." Well, with a lump in his throat, Joseph folded up his long list of questions and put them away. Brother Andrew's ministry continues even to this day, even though we don't have an iron curtain or a bamboo curtain as back in those days. Brother Andrew's continues to smuggle Bibles into areas such as Muslim countries where the Bible is forbidden in many of them. So Brother Andrew continues, and he's in his 80s now, but he continues to serve God in a magnificent way. You know, as I mentioned earlier about Corrie Ten Boom released from the concentration camp, and God was not through or finished with her yet. Do you ever feel that you're at the end of your rope and you don't know what is going to happen from one moment to the next? But keep this in mind. Always remain open-minded. Remember, God isn't finished with you yet. There are many more things that God can do for you and that you can do for God in this wide canopy of mission that God has entailed. Remember, when you think you are at the end of your rope, it may only be just the beginning. But you know, whether it is risk in our life, as did Brother Andrew and Corrie Ten Boom and all those other people throughout this endeavor that was made into China, or even we may risk our reputation sharing the gospel, regardless of the methodology, requires courage. God never declares doing the Lord's work is trouble-free. Let us remain confident and be strengthened by God's power instead of our own, because success is completely assured by God. Of course. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, as we have seen the lives of the disciples there hidden in the upper room immediately following the crucifixion and then now the resurrection, they were frightened, but God reassured them through God's Son Jesus Christ that all was fine. Oh, Lord, when we are faced with circumstances which seem insurmountable, when they seem impossible, we know that you are still in control and in charge of all. When we are called upon by you to do things which we think we have limitations, we know with your help all things are possible. Guide us and lead us. May we serve you with genuine enthusiasm, but humility as well. Regardless, O Lord, from day to day where you will take us, we know that we can trust in you, that you only have the best for us in our lives. Help us, O God, now. Look after us and continue to protect us from all harm. We pray all this, O Lord, through your name. Amen.